Morning of Bodhi, we're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We are in the middle of the fifth kazuk, Hayetag Ha'Oliyot Sohel. We've been comparing as the direction of Shlomo HaMelech, the great person, to a ship full of merchandise, a cargo ship. And we've been trying to get all the different lessons that come from that comparison. We are following the direction and the advice of the great Shlomo. And delving into his words is in itself a tremendous beracha that we've seen. Today we're going to bring a new chapter in this comparison. One of the unique attributes of a large ship that's traveling in the ocean, as opposed to other vehicles, whether it's a horse, or it's a car, or a bike, or a bus, is that normally when a person is going somewhere, the vehicle that they're in, they see what's in front of them. When a person is traveling, they normally see what's in front of them. They're driving a car, they see what's in front of them. They're in a bus, they see what's in front of them. A bicycle, and any kind of vehicle, normally sees the road ahead, right in front of the person. One vehicle that doesn't work that way is the ship. The ship doesn't really look what's in front. The way the ship travels is that the captain is looking always towards the end of where he needs to get. He has some sort of equipment that he's able to see always where he's going and make sure he doesn't go off course. Seeing right in the front is not one of the things the captain does. He's looking forward ahead. That becomes our mashal for greatness. We did speak already about how a great person makes a plan. He makes goals. But even with goals, a person needs the steps to get there. There are many people who have very high goals that never reach them because they haven't made the plan. The step-by-step plan of how they will reach their goals. So of course, in order for goals to come to fruition, a person has to make a plan. You want to finish shots, you have to make a plan. You want to improve anything, you have to make a plan. Of course, the goal is far ahead. When out step-by-step strategies that are going to get you there, so then you'll never realize your goals. That's hobbyists. But very often in life, when a person is taking those steps to get to the goal, it could be anything. It could be in religion, it could be in raising children, it could be in business. A person has these goals that they need to succeed and makes a plan that they need to reach their goal. But very often what happens in life is that a person gets so involved in the steps that they lose focus of their goals. And in the interim, they get stuck somewhere in the process and make all the wrong decisions for what they were trying to achieve. And Shlomo HaMelech says a great person is like a ship a ship that never loses its focus on the goal. Yes, you need a plan. Yes, you have to have strategy. But the goal always has to be in sight. The great woman, even though she has a lot of work to do today, she has a lot of struggles today. All the different areas that she's involved in today. But most people, they're so caught up with that today. And they make the wrong decisions. They make the right decisions for today, but the wrong decisions for the goal. So imagine, here's a guy who has this great goal. He made a plan of how to get there. And as he makes decisions, he's only making decisions to help the plan. But these decisions could be hurting the goal. Interesting idea. You get lost on the little roads and you never end up getting to the highway because you're making the wrong choices. Because you're focused on the wrong things. You forgot that the road is only a way to get somewhere. The great person has a lot to sell. The great woman has a lot to sell, a lot of merchandise. She has enoch, she has a marriage, she has a home, she has many things that she needs to sell. Doesn't get caught up in the roads to get there. I once heard a beautiful mashal. I hope you appreciate it. I apologize in advance for this mashal. The mashal was actually written by a great rabbi, so no apology needed. The mashal of a melech, of a very powerful king. On the days of old, the kings took a lot of pride in their chosen horse. Today, a king takes pride in his airplane. That's when the kings get together, that's what they talk about. How many rooms you have in your plane. All the different things that happen on an airplane. That becomes the talk of the rich people. Those days, it was the horse. They chose this horse from many, many thousands of horses. Like it says in Megillat Esther, Vesus Asher Racham Alav HaMelech. It was a sus, a special sus. That's what Haman told Ahasuerus. When Ahasuerus told him, what should I do for someone I really, really value? Haman thought it was him. So he told him, take this man and put him on a sus. Put him on a horse and ride him around the city. And everyone should say, this is the man the king loves. And not a regular sus. Not a regular horse. The horse. Asher rachab alav ha-melech. Asher nitan keter malchut perosho. The horse that has on his head the crown of the king. This is the horse. We have to understand this horse was chosen for many horses. And it was pampered. And it was the pride of the melech. So the story goes like this. In his palace, gets an urgent phone call from his advisors that there is an enemy that seems to be planning to attack his country. It's a very urgent call. They said, we have to meet immediately to discuss what we need to do. The meeting cannot happen in the palace. Too many ears listening. can't happen in the middle of the day. Too many people watching. I have to go do it in a secret place. And the meeting is going through the night. Okay, the king has to go with his meeting. He goes to see his horse. Everything is good, ready to go. He's very, very concerned what's going to happen when he takes his horse to this secret place. Who's going to watch his horse? Where he is, he has people. He has the palace. Everything is locked up. Security, before you get to the horse, you have a long line of people that are protecting him. And now he's going to this random place, some bunker somewhere. Who's going to watch his horse? In the middle of the night, through the night. So he chose one man that he thought was the best that he could find, someone to watch his horse. He told him that I'm going to a very important meeting. Need you to watch my horse through the night. Are you able to contain yourself not to fall asleep? I'm very worried about my horse. He told him, Your Majesty, I'm an expert at this. No worries. I do this better than anybody else. I'm your trusted servant. Let's go. The king gets to his secret location. The man is watching his horse. The king goes to the meeting. It's now 2 hours into the night. It's 2 a.m. The king is all worried at this meeting. His country is going up in flames and he's worried at the horse. Let me go check the guy outside, make sure the guy's still up. It's 2 a.m. already. Not a young man. Who knows what's going on out there? He goes outside to see this person watching his horse. He sees Baruch Hashem. He's never seen a guy go awake in the middle of the night. He's so pleasantly surprised. Very happy to see it. So to give him some Ezuk, he tells him, wow, unbelievable how you stay up like this. He tells him, how do you do it? Sitting here by yourself in the middle of the night, how do you stay up? He tells him, Your Majesty, I'm very good at this. I have a lot of experience. He says, I have a trick. He says, as I'm watching the horse, he says, I think you have a very deep question that requires a lot of attention and a lot of thought. And it keeps me up a long time thinking about the answer to the question. So the king called him, Hazaka Baruch. Beautiful, beautiful. What an idea, what a concept. He says, tell me, what is the question you're thinking about now? What philosophical deep question are you involved in? He told him, I'll tell you, Your Majesty, you know what a bagel is, right? It's a bagel, you have dough, and you have a hole in the middle. This is a person who eats a bagel, you only eat the dough. He says, I'm thinking, what happens to the hole after you eat the dough? Where does it go? What a question. What happens to the space in between? You're not eating it, so where does it go? King, very, very encouraged by this question. It took him a very long time to find the answer to this very deep question. He said to them, Hazaka Baruch, beautiful job, beautiful question. Keep going. He goes back inside, he's back with his meeting. Now it's 4 a.m. He's all worried again. Who knows, maybe the guy found the answer. Think you got the answer to the question.
What?
He goes outside to see the guy's up. By 2 a.m., no difference. Tells him, no. Did you get the answer to the first question? He told me, Your Majesty, the truth, no. But I moved on to another question. He told him, what are you dealing with now? He told him, you know, sometimes in my stable there are wooden walls. Sometimes I have to take a nail and I have to put the nail in the wall. Of course, when you put a nail in the wall, it creates a hole. This is, I'm wondering, where did the wood that used to be in the hole go? King tells him, Vaz, it's a beautiful, it's a beautiful question. Tells him, Abazaka Baruch, great job. Good luck in trying to get the answer. He goes back to his meeting. He's there another 2 hours, still dark out, 6 a.m. Again, he's worried, maybe the guy is sleeping. He goes outside to see what's going on with this guy watching the horn. He sees he's wide awake. But he looks troubled. He's awake. He's like, what happened to you? What's going on? What question are you dealing with now? Very troubling question. He says, I have a big question. How is it that I'm up all night and your horse is not here anymore? A guy is focused all night, had a thing so he can watch the horse. But he forgot to watch the horse because he's so focused on the thinking part. He's so focused on the questions of staying up, he forgot why he's staying up. It's a silly example, but a real example. It's a real powerful example of how we are in life. And so often in life we have this mission and we have a road to get there. We just end up just focused on the road and forget the mission. It happens to the best of us in all areas of life. That's what Shlomo HaMelech is saying, that the great person is ka'oniyot soher. The great person doesn't fall for those failures of life. Despite that he's on the road to get somewhere, he never forgets his main mission. Somebody asked me a question last week that I think is very appropriate. The person was very bothered. And sometimes when we sing songs in the yeshiva, or songs sometimes in shul, so some of the songs are not the Sephardi songs from the red book or the blue book. They're songs that are Ashkenazi tunes. It's a different kind of tune. It's very nice words, words from Tanakh usually. But the tune is not made by someone from Aleppo or from Alexandria. The tune was made from someone from Europe. So they were very, very much disturbed. But a Sephardi yeshiva would be singing songs of Ashkenazi descent. So I told him, you're asking good. Because he said, aren't we supposed to be proud of our heritage? Isn't there an idea of respect that we have for our parents and grandparents? Al titosh torat imecha. To speak the way they speak. To learn the way they learn. To sing the way they sing. Isn't there a disrespect if we shy away or move away from that? And focus on songs that they didn't sing, or maybe learning that's slightly different than the way they learned, or isn't that a disrespect to your father and grandfather and heritage? I told him, you're asking a very good question, and it needs a very important answer. I told him there's no question. There is a concept called respecting your parents and respecting your grandparents and respecting where Hashem puts you in life. You're Sfaradi, you have to respect where you come from. You're Ashkenazi, you respect where you come from. Ashkenazi should pray like an Ashkenaz. he should do whatever he can to respect his heritage and his customs. When he veers away from that, it's a disrespect the way he comes from. And the same for a Sfaradi, no difference. You gotta pray the way that your heritage, we have a heritage, we weren't born this morning. We have a link, we have a chain, we have a link. And therefore, as much as a person can do to continue the heritage of his parents, of his family, of his people, he's obligated to. Honor your father and mother. I should put you here for a reason. However, you must never forget the words of Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech says in Kohelet, Sof davar hakol nishma. Says Shlomo HaMelech, Sof davar, bottom line. After we heard everything, we learned everything. We learned this, we learned that. I gave you this idea, I gave you this issue. Sof davar hakol nishma. Okay, done. Here's the bottom line, he says. Et Elohim yira. Fear God. Ve'et mitzvotav shemor. And keep his mitzvot. Ki zeh. Because this, Kol Adam, this is all that it's about. It's about Yirat Shamayim. It's about living with Hashem and awareness of His existence in your life every moment. Yirat Shamayim and Torah Mitzvot. Sof Davar. That's the bottom line. I told you to do it this way. I told you to do it that way. I told you to talk like this. Don't talk like that. Do this. Don't do that. But bottom line, this is the goal. Sof davar hakol nishma. Yirat Shamayim. When you make a decision, the number one thing has to be Yirat Shamayim. When I raise my children, the number one question has to be, where will they get the most Yirat Shamayim? Where will they get the more greatest fear of God? Where will they be more committed to mitzvot? The best. That is the question. I said, what if you had an option where you could send your children to a school asking this person? Or if you would go your Sephardi route, you'll end up in a place that is very weak in Torah and mitzvot and Yirat Shamayim. Very weak. It's not their focus. But they do a lot of minhagim. All the songs they sing. They do a lot of beautiful things. But Yirat Shamayim, very weak. I'm giving a scenario. A made up scenario. Very weak in fear of God. Very weak in observance of mitzvot. But their customs will be spot on. Sing right, they'll talk right, they'll even dress like the old country. And the other place is not exactly Torat Yimel, that's not exactly your derech, it's not where you come from, but there they have Yirat Shamayim. There your son and daughter will come out with fear of God, and they will fulfill the mitzvot in the way they're supposed to be done. I said, what's the answer to this question? Where do you go? Obvious, says Shlomo HaMelech, Sof davar hakol nishma. Bottom line, for your family, for your children, the number one thing has to be Yirat Shamayim. Then we can start talking about, is it exactly like this road, like that road? Yirat Shamayim has to be number one, guiding you. Nothing else. After Yirat Shamayim, then we can do the best we can to fit with Torah Dimecha. But sometimes you may have to make a decision. For example, let's say you can get this kid inspired through this kind of music. He's not into Pizmonim. it doesn't talk to his soul. It's not what he grew up with. It's not the American tone.
It's just not. So, you teach it to him.
He sings it, but it doesn't reach his soul. But if you get a soul that can reach his neshama, so what do? What do you say, no?
If these songs can bring a person to Yirat Shamayim better for him than the other one, what is the question?
Have you lost your mind? Have you lost your goals in life? We're not here in this world to be Sfaradim. Although some people might think that way. We're not here to be Sfaradim. It's a mistake. It's a pikorsut to think it. Our nation was created on Har Sinai. And the Torah was given to the Jewish people. We're here to be God-fearing Jews that keep the Torah. That is the number one goal of our nation. Everything else has its value and needs to be put in its right place. And yes, like I said, because we've worn Sfaradi, above all, we are servants of Hashem. A Sfaradi is not here to be Sfaradi, an Ashkenazi is not here to be Ashkenazi. All of that stuff has its value when possible. Like I mentioned already before, respecting where you come from, respecting the way you are and the way you sing and the way you read and the way you learn. Of course, not a question. But along the road, you may have to make certain decisions. And you better put the clarity of the goal in your mind. The clarity is, Sof davara kol nishma. Eta Elohim yira. Make sure you think about Yirat Shamayim. Because that's number one. Do not lose focus of the goal for the little streets that you're on. That's what I told this man. I believe he accepted it well. Because in his mind he was so brainwashed about where he is in life that he forgot the bigger picture. There is a bigger picture here. The most important picture. That's why it's very, very difficult for any person to get up and speak about this is what we do, is what we don't do. Because the person, number one, has to have Yirat Shamayim. Because if they don't have Yirat Shamayim, they're not capable of understanding when what we do is important and when what we do could be detrimental. Sometimes what you do could be detrimental. You have to know what you're dealing with. You have to understand what is the goal and how we're getting there. And sometimes the very thing that you're following could get taken the wrong way. This danger of life exists in every single area of value. A rabbi comes to teach his class. He's given a class for an entire year to teach. They are teachers and rabbis that are very focused on discipline. They want to make sure that everybody is behaving, that no one talks out of turn, that no one's missing a pen, nobody's late on their homework, everyone's up paying attention. Very important. Without discipline, there's no class. Obviously, you need discipline. You walk into a zoo, you can't teach anything. Obviously, discipline is the key to have a successful class. But you know how many times discipline gets in the way of your goal? If your goal is to have a class of discipline, so you have totally lost your purpose in your teaching. And very often that's what happens. Very often discipline becomes your thing. When your thing is supposed to be inspiring young minds and inspiring their souls to become greater people, to connect to them, to guide them, to be able to give them the fear of God that is necessary for their growth. But you know how many times that's sacrificed because of discipline? Because I need to have this kind of class, a kid talks out of turn, you rip him apart, and then you lose him for 3 months. You lost focus on what's important. Sometimes we lose focus because of the certain parameters that have been set by us, by the community. Meaning, a kid has to be doing this, he has to be doing that. It's got to be exactly like that. All important things. But sometimes you need to be flexible so you can get the kid to get there. When you box him too much and you don't let him breathe and he needs to breathe, then you're hurting him. You're allowing the smaller things that are important, but they're the ones that are blocking his growth. Think of the mother that spends her morning yelling at her children because they didn't wake up exactly when she woke them up, because they left their shoes in the hallway, because they forgot their lunch, because they didn't brush their hair. All important things. Yes, your shoes should be put to the side. You should brush your hair. You should not forget your lunch. You should wake up exactly when you're told, when you're supposed to. But by the time he leaves school, he leaves the school, she feels frustrated. He feels unloved. She missed it. What? Why are you waking up in the morning? To take care of your children. For what reason? What was your goal to begin with this morning? Is your goal to wake them up and their shoes should be in the right place? And that they... What was the goal here? The goal is obviously to raise a successful, confident, connected child who feels loved. But along the way of what you're doing to get him to be responsible, to get him to be... whatever he's supposed to be doing, you could be hurting your goal, your tone, and your upset reality is hurting him. For the very goal that you want to teach him, it's going backwards. So you're upset about the small things, but you ruin the bigger picture. The greatest thing your son or daughter needs is to feel loved and to feel that you're there for them and to feel appreciated and to feel confident and to feel successful. So yes, they need to know what to put away. They need to know what to do. And it needs to be focused on and it needs to be tended to and it needs to be reacted to. But when that becomes the reason for your overall mood, so you've hurt your goal of raising children who are confident, loved, and feel successful. They walk out of the house feeling unloved. They feel like failures. So what are you doing? No, but their shoes were not there. They didn't brush their hair. You're right. But you lost... you're so involved in the shoes, you forgot the whole purpose. We could give 1,000 examples of that, just in the home alone. There are many, many more examples. I think we'll have to continue tomorrow. That's Hashem.